Incident Report 2301, or an alternate ending for the work Classifieds by Blue000J. Featuring Fenton Marshes as narrator,
Tipsy Kitty as Phil,
God of Laundry Baskets as Technoblade,
Aetherpunk as Tubbo,
Down the Dark Path as Dr. Niachu,
and Blue00J as the Administrative Director.
Phil wakes up one day and realizes that something is terribly, horribly wrong. He doesn't have to sleep. Technically, he knows he can go days, weeks, hell, even months on end without closing his eyes and resting. But his body sometimes asks for it. Sometimes a compulsion settles in his gut and makes him so incredibly tired. Those times, he gives in and sleeps. He thinks it might be something carried over from when he was still human, back in the days when the world was too cold and people prayed to unforgiving gods that their children would survive the winter, that they would survive the ice and cold and snow. Back when Phil himself could feel and laugh and eat and sleep and be normal. His body still follows the circadian rhythm, even after all these long, long years. The compulsion came over him the night before, eyes drooping and wings too heavy on his back. He figured it was safe to sleep. He'd done it so many times before, here in this cold, white containment center that had been his temporary home for the past 4 years. It wouldn't be his home much longer, he knew. He knew a lot of things. Phil wasn't quite sure how his knowing worked, just that it did, and that was okay. When he woke up, however, things were not okay. He knew three things simultaneously. 1. Tommy was not in the containment center. Tommy was not on the site at all, or in the neighboring village. Tommy is far enough away from him that Phil doesn't know anything about his whereabouts at all. Tommy could be dead. Phil does not know, and that terrifies him. 2. Wilbur is asleep. That would be normal, but Phil knows that this sleep isn't of the natural kind. It also doesn't help anyone's case that Wilbur is in the back of a soundproof truck that is slowly making its way off the site to the south. 3. Tommy's little friend, the one he'd taken a liking to and asked Phil to help him with. Tubbo, Phil thinks vaguely. He is in trouble. His knowing doesn't give him anything beyond that, but he knows Tubbo is in trouble, even if Tubbo doesn't know it yet. Phil takes a breath and sits himself up.
Blood God,
he says, even though he knows techno doesn't come when people call. Phil is the exception.
I need you.
Techno's there in an instant. His hair has been cut short, and Phil knows it's from a fight that they'll discuss later. He doesn't particularly like the cut, honestly, but it'll grow out. His roots are showing, just the slightest little bit. Techno thankfully doesn't look like he came out of anything important or serious, and Phil knows he'll stay already. He doesn't even have to know for that bit of intuition. This is just something Phil knows intrinsically when it comes to these boys. He can see it in his eyes when Techno takes a moment to stare at Phil, his harried state upon waking, and immediately tenses up. Somewhere, a red light starts flashing and an alarm blares. Neither of them pay it any mind.
Something is wrong,
Phil says, and Techno nods.
Tell me,
he insists, moving to lean against the wall and casually pull a shining blade out from where it rests on his hip. Phil knows a lot. When Phil first met Techno, he knew nothing.
Who are you?
Phil asks, staring at the dark-haired man in front of him. The man...
No, this is a boy,
his brain says quietly.
Too young.
turns to face him, sword still in hand. Phil was bored that day and had stretched out the limits of his knowing to test them. Phil was still new, not used to the great new body that came with being a creature of intense power. He still stumbled when he walked, he didn't know how to fly, and his knowing was far less subtle. It had still told him, however, when a fight had broken out in the village he'd been protecting. Protecting, in his case, mostly meant scaring people away when they meant harm, something that Phil could usually tell once he got within 5 feet of them. This man, however, is different. He's just killed 3 village people with his bare hands, blood soaking into his tunic and clothing, and yet Phil knows the boy doesn't feel any remorse. Phil knows he didn't mean to hurt anyone. All he can feel is confusion and a compulsion tugging him away from this conflict and onto the next.
"Oh,"
Phil says, realizing what has happened before even the boy has figured it out. Then,
"Come with me."
Techno is young and called by compulsion like Phil once was. But Phil is always, always there when he returns, and Techno always comes when he calls. They make up a strange pantheon of 2 for Miliena.
Wilbur's in a truck, about 5 by 2 meters. Soundproof, and he's asleep. Not by choice.
Phil lists off what he knows, with Techno right beside him as they make their way down the empty halls of the containment center.
"I don't know where Tommy is,"
he admits, and he can hear the shame and upset in his own voice. He hates not knowing.
"It's okay,"
Techno cuts in, a smear of blood painting his face in a way that reminds Phil of the Romans and their bloodthirsty armies so long ago.
"We'll find him, and if we don't, then we'll raise hell."
"Damn right we will."
A familiar anger tugs at Phil, burning through the pit of his stomach and itching to escape through his hands. Behind them already is a trail of blood, but Phil wants more. He needs more, so he makes a decision.
"I'm going to find Tommy's friend. We can collect them both and then figure out where Tommy is. Hopefully I can find him."
"We will,"
Techno says, with a certainty so ferocious that it nearly consumes the entire hallway. Phil knows Techno thinks it's true. Phil holds back his own uncertainties, nodding at Techno as they come to a crossroads in the hallway. Phil knows they have to split up, so they do. He finds Tubbo in a room just off the laboratory, in what appears to be a storage room. There's another scientist with him, a woman, small and terrified. Phil knows everything about her in an instant, but he can't find it in him to care. She struggles to breathe as he enters the small room, ducking his head to fit through the doorway, and locks eyes with Tubbo. Tubbo knows in a second what's going on, and Phil knows it's because of himself. He doesn't want to address what's happening with himself just yet, so he focuses on Tubbo instead. Scared and small and important to Tommy, so by association, important to Phil.
"It's time to go,"
he says, and Tubbo just steps forward and into his arms.
"Tubbo,"
the woman says, taking a step forward. Phil almost reaches out to snap her neck, but Tubbo's hand on his cheek stops him. The woman is frozen again, staring in terror.
It's okay, Nikki,"
he tells her. His voice is confident, but Phil knows he's still scared under the surface.
"You're going to be okay, right, Phil?"
Phil doesn't care about the woman.
"Right,"
he says anyways, because it's what Tubbo wants him to say, and he knows it.
"Goodbye."
They turn and go, Phil ducking his head to exit the room. Outside, he heads for a computer. Tubbo stares at him, confused, and he finally speaks again.
"Tommy is somewhere I can't see. I don't know where he is,"
he admits, and he can feel how Tubbo stiffens up in his grasp. He stops, setting the kid down on the floor by the computer and gesturing to it.
"This will know. I need you to access it."
I don't have access to that kind of stuff,"
Tubbo says, but he types on the keyboard and logs in anyways.
"I have no idea where I'd even find a file like that."
"You do,"
Phil says, and he can feel the compulsion in his voice, coating his vocal cords like honey and slipping from his lips like blood, viscous and thick.
It'll be there.
Tubbo looks at him for a moment, then turns back to the computer. His fingers fly over the keyboard, eyes scanning the pages and documents as they come up. Phil crouches beside him to a more manageable level, elbows on his knees as he also watches the screen. None of it he understands. Well, he does, but he doesn't care enough to dig into the knowledge. Tubbo can handle that bit. Phil just needs to know where Tommy is. It takes an agonizing 5 minutes of silence between the two, the only sounds being the echoing of keyboard clacks in the room. Occasionally, Phil can hear the sounds of fighting from somewhere else in the containment center. Once, he reaches out and knows that Techno's got into the truck, the engine smoking as it lays on its side with its back open. Wilbur is woozy but awake, Techno by his side. It reassures him, calms him down to know they're together and safe.
Got it,
Tubbo says a moment later, staring at the screen.
I got it. I got in. It let me in. How did it do that?
Not important. Where does it say they're taking him?
Phil snaps back into the moment, leaning forward to peer at the words on the screen. Through the mumbo-jumbo of Foundation files and formality, he can see a few key words.
A site in Scotland,
Tubbo reads out loud.
They would have taken the M6, probably. Tommy's not a threat. He's considered safe for the most part. As long as they kept him asleep or told him everyone was coming too, he wouldn't...
When did they leave?
Phil asks, and Tubbo shuts up, his worried rambling cutting off in favor of him scrolling up the document.
9:30 last night,
he says, and Phil inhales, then exhales. It's been 11, almost 12 hours since then. They're surely already at the other site, so they've got a place to go now and search. Phil is so ready to wreak havoc, his fingers twitching slightly as he stands up. Tubbo looks up, staring at him in his wings and then reaching up to take his hand.
We'll find him.
We will,
Phil says, and he knows they will. He looks around the room, the empty lab, the testing spots where they put sticky tabs on his head and tried to pluck his feathers. The rooms where Wilbur was cut open and vocal cords examined, where Tommy was interviewed again and again and again, stifled from being a child. Anger rises in him again, pushing against the surface tension of his skin and begging to be released. He doesn't let it. Not yet. Not with Tubbo here and holding his hand so carefully. He wishes none of it had existed in the first place. Something snaps into place in his mind, something he always knows and has maybe always known. He makes it so none of it existed in the first place. Later, when Tommy is safe and asleep in the crook of his wings, when Tubbo is curled up next to him and dozing gently, when Wilbur is leaning against Techno and smiling in the dim light of the woods, when Techno is laughing and cleaning blood from his sword, Phil lets himself breathe. Wilbur will ask him what he did. Techno won't. Techno will meet his eyes and he'll know, he'll understand without having to ask. The explanation won't make any sense to Wilbur or Tubbo or Tommy or even Techno deep down. But it doesn't matter. Phil knows they're safe. Phil makes it so they're safe.
Hello again. It's Fenza Marshes back with a little more to say. If you're not into endnotes, feel free to dip here, although I will say there's something akin to a post-credits scene coming after my ramble. I'm just going to be a bit sappy and say thank you very much, so much, to all the Neon Carrot members who contributed to this project, which is Tipsy Kitty as Phil, God of Laundry Baskets as Techno, Little Red Robin Hood as Wilbur, Raven is Alistair, Jap is the site director, and Black Glass is that random agent who got killed off and is the reason I have a file on my computer called Me When Technoblade Is Trying to Enter the Room and Kill Me .wav. And another one called Me When Technoblade Fucking Stabs Me With a Sword .wave. Point being, none of you even go here, like, to this fandom, and I owe you all my life for the brilliant performances. I'm sorry I didn't get this done in time to get us points. But yeah, thank you as well to all the people who do like the Blockmen and help me out, but mostly I'm just really, really grateful to the people who contributed a fuck ton of audio to something they don't really give a shit about. You're all brilliant, thank you guys. Okay, I'll shut up.
This file is level Omega classified. Failure to enter credentials will result in termination. As of the 12th of all personnel who review this file will be administered amnesiatics. Due to the nature of this incident, it has been decided that it is more beneficial to forget than to remember. Incident Report 2301. Date, the 8th of Location, Site 23. Scenario Class, CK, Restructuring.
At the recommendation of Dr. and Dr. SCP-2015-13 and SCP-23912 were to be removed from Site 23 and relocated to various facilities. Observation of their apparent emotional bond to each other, as well as SCP-1689-12, was beginning to overstep boundaries that the Foundation put into place. At 8:25 a.m., Site Director Anissa Vinay signed documents that would allow for their removal. Due to the nature of SCP-1689-12, procedures were not taken into effect until late that night when SCP-1689-12 had apparently fallen asleep. SCP-2015-13 was given dinner at its normal time, with a small dosage of sleeping medication blended into the food. At 2100, the subject was removed from its containment center and brought to transport, leaving the facility at 2115 and exiting the site perimeter at 2130. SCP-23912 was not able to be moved that night, so it was decided to wait until breakfast to administer sleeping agents. Once SCP-23912 was unconscious, it was also taken into transport and began leaving the site at 7:30. SCP-1689-12 woke up at 7:43 and immediately seemed distressed. While it is unclear what happened between the hours of 7:45 and 9 a.m., records indicate that a code red was called at 7:46, and remained in effect until the non-existence of Site 23. It can be assumed that SCP-2538 made an appearance, as records of Foundation's employees show missing persons that were likely deceased at the time of the anomaly. At 9:03, Site 23 ceased to exist. All personnel still alive and on the grounds of Site 23 appeared on other sites, with reasoning behind their stationing there. All personnel working with them seemed to not question their presence, and when interviewed, had been under the impression they had been working with these personnel for up to 6 months previous. As stated before, Foundation records indicate 34 missing employee records, which has been attributed to these 34 personnel being deceased at the time of the restructuring. Site 23 no longer exists, and all memory of the site has been erased from personnel minds, as well as some lower-level management involved in the creation of Site 23 in 19... It has been assumed that SCP-1689-12 is the one responsible for the restructuring, due to the observed nature of his anomalous abilities and the planned experiments that are no longer an option. SCP-1689-12 has been reclassified as Keter. SCP-23912 has been reclassified as Keter. SCP-2015-13 has been reclassified as Keter. Any Foundation personnel who come into contact with any of these SCPs should immediately alert a Level 4 or up staff member. Any Foundation personnel who hear any rumors of these SCPs should alert a Level 3 or up staff member. Administrative Director.